The meditation for Saturday in Holy Week. Be still, then, and know that I am God. That's from Psalm 46, verse 11. And here's the text for this year on Holy Saturday. It's from Matthew 27. When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who was also a disciple of Jesus. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered it to be given to him. So Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn in the rock. He then rolled a great stone to the door of the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were there, sitting opposite the tomb. The next day, that is, after the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said, "Sir, we remember that that impostor said while he was still alive, 'After 3 days I will rise again.' Therefore, command the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may go and steal him away and tell the people he has been raised from the dead, and the last deception would be worse than the first." Pilate said to them, "You have a guard of soldiers. Go, make it secure as you can." So they went with a guard and made the tomb secure by sealing the stone. On this day, we enter the Holy of Holies of prayer through the torn veil of the temple, only to meet God's silence. Like the top of the intake of breath before exhaling, the day hangs in stillness between moments, between Good Friday and Easter, as between one phase of life and the next. The Church calls this God's Great Sabbath. For us, Jesus is dead and not yet risen. Finding holiness on this day is the great challenge, but it is good practice for the times in our life when God seems absent. For so many years, while I was trying to believe, and again, while I had lost my belief, and when I had thought I had gone beyond my belief, this was my favorite day of the Christian year. At least it was the one day I understood, and I could observe it with my whole heart without any compunction. Sorry, I've lost my place. There it is. While I often did not understand or enter into the, let's be honest, far-fetched Christian story, I could understand and enter into the absence of God. And the Church gave me a day in the year and an expression of the reality that I knew. This day kept me a Christian when Christmas and Easter could not. And yet, like most of Holy Week, it is a day of busyness in the church building, especially for the altar guild, polishing the silver, ironing the fair linens, draping altar with the pristine frontal, the cross with white fabric, arranging banks of lilies everywhere, and goodness, setting up for the vigil, fire, candles, bells. Maybe the choir is rehearsing all the music and chants. Maybe volunteers are setting up the parish hall for the biggest breaking of the fast ever. Maybe there's a cleaning crew inside. Because they're outside too, sweeping, washing the floor, polishing wood. And maybe there's a garden crew outside, making the grounds pristine for the coming feast. But what about the silence? Many people can't bear silence. But for those of us for whom God manifests most acutely in silence, in solitude, this is our day. To those of us who find God in spaciousness, or, let it be said, nothingness, as if we were Zen Buddhists, this is our liturgical time of acknowledgement. Some of us are still staring through the torn curtain of the temple. Nothingness is not empty, or rather it is empty like the empty tomb. The emptiness discloses profound reality, almost presence, maybe presence, certainly a reality we could never experience without the emptiness. Some of us were born to this nothingness and worshipped within it since childhood. I suppose it is a matter of temperament and maybe even the arrangement of our brain matter. But for those of us who find Christianity too busy to discover this day and to observe it, allows us to be Christians fully and deeply. For today is the day our pent-up love soars towards God's own rest. Today is the day we rest in God's own being. And, as all week we have found ways to comfort Jesus, today, perhaps, is our day to comfort God. I don't blame God for taking a day's rest away from humanity, do you? Watching all the unnecessary suffering that we inflict upon one another, on top of the necessary suffering inherent in creation. To anthropomorphize God a bit, let's say maybe humanity's suffering gets to God. In any case, this is the day to love God, God's own Sabbath, God's time of solitude, God's resting in spaciousness. The last words I give to Beatrice Bruteau from her book, The Easter Mysteries. What does the powerful nothingness mean? For it is meaningful, exceedingly meaningful. It is not just a matter of waiting. This is a high symbol, indeed the symbol to which everything else has led. All the exercises of Lent, all the concentration of Holy Week, all the final abandonments of Good Friday are intended to bring us to this great nothing. It is our way of pointing to that which cannot be said. This is why the word is gone. There is no object outside us on which we may fasten. Nothing to observe, nothing happening, nothing to do. Our usual, finite, comparative means-to-end activity is suspended. We are in the presence of the infinite. We are, in fact, in the infinite. And here is a suggestion for reflection. Spend time in the concept of looking through the torn veil. How do you interpret what you see or what you don't see? Or just spend some time in silence and in solitude if you can. I hope that your pent-up love soars toward God.